This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, seavillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at seavilletomorrow.org, and he joins me live every week to talk a little growth and development and local politics. How are you, sir? It's good to see you.
Doing great, Coy. Good to be here. It's been a slow news week.
It has. Really?
Yeah.
Not next week, though.
Not next week.
Next week's like a big week.
Big week. And I heard you say you have a big show on Monday.
On Monday, we're going to hear from Liz Palmer, who supports the water plan. We'll hear from Dee Dee Smith, who, of course, is against the water plan and for dredging and things like this. And then that evening, next Monday night.
Big city council meeting.
Big public hearing in city council. You know, it's one of those nights when we expect the city council chambers just to fill up.
Oh, yeah. They'll be full.
Into the
hall. That's a small room.
It is a small room. Thank you for saying that. I thought there was something wrong with me. Like, I was the only one who was... Every time I go there, I think, you know, this is actually pretty small for the chambers of a city council, the size of a city for like Charlottesville.
Yeah. Now, granted, much smaller in population than Albemarle County, and Albemarle had the benefit of having Lane High School's auditorium that they could renovate and make their new chambers. But if you reflect back, Coy, when we first launched Charlottesville Tomorrow, the room that the Board of Supervisors and the Planning Commission met in was the old, basically it was the old principal's office of Lane High School. And it was this tiny room. I mean, it's probably, I don't know, maybe four or five times.
They have that dais in there, though, don't they? Where they can all sit up there together?
They had a small one. It's gone now.
Oh, okay.
But it was a small room.
Yeah.
So, you know, Albemarle County had to grow into their new room.
Yeah.
And maybe at the rate citizens are getting engaged, you know, maybe that's a good thing. If we're filling the room, that could be a good thing.
That's the problem you want. If you're a local government, I want the problem to be the fact that there's so many people at our city council meetings, we need a bigger space, more space for them to sit and more time for them to speak. What a great problem to have.
I was asked this week and next week, Coy, to meet with a couple groups locally. One is a group of high school students, which I'm very excited about, over at Monticello High School. There's a bunch of student leaders over there. They're engaged in a government course and they're trying to figure out how does local government work or not.
And they
work.
Text and they tweet and they listen to Lady Gaga and, you know.
I'm not sure they do those. I'm not sure they do the middle one, tweeting. I think they do the texting and the Gaga.
They don't tweet?
You know, one of the things.
I thought tweeting was really. Because I know Facebook isn't as big among younger kids as it is now among like college and above.
I think it is.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. My ninth grader's big into Facebook.
Really? Okay. Yeah. All right.
But anyway. Yeah. I think these students, though, and you know, we interview a lot of interns to come work at Charlottesville Tomorrow. We had two great interns this summer. But typically, every intern who starts at Charlottesville Tomorrow, they really don't know how to consume local news. They don't know to come listen to WINA and get the local news.
Well, even if they do, they don't know how to listen. They don't know how to watch news. We don't teach media literacy in this country. We teach literacy, how to read, how to understand the story of a writer, but we don't teach how to understand a newspaper article or a television story.
Right.
They do in Canada. That's required to get a high school degree in Canada. You have to have courses in media literacy, but not here.
And I think when that does happen, even if it's rare, it's probably more focused on the national level. You know, you should be getting a national newspaper of record that you can read and learn about the national issues. Watch a national news broadcast.
Yeah.
Although it's funny, on CNN on Sunday, they have a morning program called Reliable Sources, and they were
it's a good one. Yeah.
They were talking about how the 6 o'clock or 6:30 evening news shows are really trying to figure out how they're going to survive because fewer and fewer people are watching fixed
network
time
news.
News show.
Yeah. Well, now you have whole channels that are devoted to news.
Yeah. I thought it was sort of ironic they were talking about it on CNN.
Yeah.
But anyway,
but you're right that we don't teach media literacy, number one. And when we do, it's mostly national stories. The local news is like last on the list.
Right. And so it was great. I got to go in this classroom, work with about 12 students, and we talked about a lot of the important issues in the community and how they could get plugged in to them.
Yeah.
You know, there was a stack of Daily Progress newspapers over in the corner, so they were, you know, the teachers getting that in the classroom and hopefully getting them to look at it online. You know, I'm going to mention they should tune into local radio as well and programs like yours. But tomorrow,
maybe this show, Brian.
Maybe this show.
Absolutely.
Maybe they're listening right now, and if they are,
oh Lord,
kudos.
Yes.
But tomorrow I'm going to meet with adult leaders in the community, And these are people who have signed up for the Chamber of Commerce Leadership Charlottesville program. I think it's like a 10-month program.
Oh, yeah. Terrific program. Really
good.
And
they've got like 700 graduates who've gone through this.
And I like how each class sort of picks a project and gets engaged in a project to leave something of a legacy of their time together. Yeah.
So my challenge to them tomorrow is to tell them how to get engaged in the community. Of course, they've already taken a big step in that direction by saying they want to be in this class, Leadership Charlottesville. But I think there's a lot they really need to learn about how to consume local news about these issues they care about.
Yeah.
And
how to ask questions about what they're being told.
Yeah.
You know, why was the story framed this way? Why was this person interviewed versus that person? Yeah, it's good stuff.
And what are the sources you can go to? And I know, you know, one of the things I like about your program, Coy, is that you've always said, I think your quote is, it's not about demonizing people. We want to have a good, you know, discussion and debate the issues.
Yeah.
But
just because you disagree with somebody doesn't mean you have to demonize them. You're allowed to just disagree. That's okay. It doesn't make them a bad person because they don't agree with you. And we've got way too much of that, and too much of that, as far as I'm concerned, even at the local level.
And maybe somebody will call in and tell me what they think about this. But, I mean, I'm wondering if is that an obstacle to some people, that they see these shrill debates on the national level happening about different political things, and they just sort of throw up their hands and say, why get involved at the even at the local level?
Well, and especially when you have local media that sort of models themselves after that. You know what I mean? You got the Sean Hannity wannabes and, you know, the Laura Ingraham wannabes who try to be like the national characters, but they bring that down to the local level, which, you know me, I hate that. I hate that. It's just like, you know, I love this town passionately. And to have people in local media doing that kind of thing, calling people names, just because you disagree about politics, for goodness sakes, you know, who cares? I mean, at the end of the day, we're all neighbors, you know, but you have people who just want to eat somebody up because they don't agree with them, you know, and how dare you disagree with me kind of stuff.
Well, and one of the reasons Charlottesville Tomorrow came together, Coy, was because we believed in, you know, that Jeffersonian ideal that if you inform the public, they can make the right decisions about their government. And I occasionally run into people that just don't believe that's possible, even in this town. They will say to me, Brian, I understand your optimism. I know you're a glass half full kind of guy, and you think you can just put the facts on the table and people will make an informed choice. But I'm not so sure.
Really?
Yeah. I still run into people like that. And I think some of those are the people that throwing up their hands and they're saying, you know, this
they don't want to,
it's not,
they don't want to
it's
care
not worth
anymore.
My time. And I hate to hear that.
Yeah.
And I knew I could talk about it with you, Coy.
Absolutely, because that's when we lose. You know, I mean, that was Jefferson's warning. If you turn your back on it and you don't care anymore and you become more interested in, you know, the home to work, home to work, home to work, home to work, and making money, watching TV, we're done. I mean, because there's very powerful forces.
Granted, that takes up a lot of time.
Yes. And there are very powerful forces in this country and always have been who profit literally from the suppression of liberty. And love it when we just think of ourselves as consumers instead of citizens. They love it. They don't want us to think of ourselves as citizens and getting engaged and weighing in because they want to be the ones to run it and to control it.
Well, it's the people that show up make the decisions, right? And I've seen over and over again at the local government level, local citizens showing up and saying, I'm concerned about X. And the decision makers say, you know what? You're right. That is a problem. And we're going to do something about it. And, you know, success story after another of local government being responsive. And I think at the local level, you can access these politicians. One of the things I'm going to say to the students at Monticello is don't hesitate to call them. You know, just pick up the phone and call these people. They do get a lot of emails. They get a lot of constituent correspondence. But it's okay to just pick up the phone and talk to them.
Yeah.
That's what they're there for.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler. He's the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. Online at cvilletomorrow.org. We'll take a quick break, get a Market Watch update, and when we get back, Brian, we have what?
We're going to talk about the Fontaine Research Park and a little bit of water.
Just a little bit.
Just a taste.
Just a taste. We're talking with Brian Wheeler. He's the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at cvilletomorrow.org. So Fontaine Research Park, I was actually out there today.
Were you?
Big, beautiful buildings that UVA owns.
They are.
Right where Fontaine Avenue... sort of JPA runs into Fontaine Avenue.
Right near the 29 bypass. It's actually in Albemarle County.
Oh, is it really?
Yes, it is.
No kidding. I didn't know that. That's really
interesting. It's just across the line. The line is further up where, you know, Fontaine gets real narrow.
But the city owns the reservoir that's beyond that.
That's true. In Albemarle County.
That's so weird. Okay. All right.
South Fork Ravenna Reservoir in Albemarle County.
So Fontaine Research Park, a lot of folks work out there. You got UVA folks, you got the medical folks.
CFA Institute is a big local employer. They're out there. And, you know, UVA, for, you know, they're trying to plan for the future like a lot of us, and they want to expand out there. One of the ways they're going to do that, Coy, is by building some parking decks, some structured parking, as the planners like to call it.
Oh, is that what it's called?
That's what it's called.
Structured parking.
You hear structured parking, think parking garage.
Like the one they built over by the UVA Theater? That's a recent new structured parking.
Which one is that?
It's right by the Cobra Theater, overlooking the field where the band practices.
Right, right, right.
Overlooking Emmett Street.
Yeah, by the A School.
Yes. And it's free to park there.
It is.
There's no, like, required yet. There's
Are you
no
sure about that, Coy?
Yeah.
During the day?
Yeah, there's no gate or anything. I don't know if they ticket.
I think there's a little sign there.
May be a sign that says you got to have a special
I think there is.
Sticker, but that's a very nice parking garage.
But I think on the weekends
it's
a good
pretty.
Place to park.
It's got like plants growing up the outside. And
I've watched a few lacrosse games for my son down at that little turf field where the band practices.
Yeah, yeah.
And I park in the garage up there. Anyway, yes, that's structured parking. So UVA wants to expand the research park out at Fontaine, and they've gotten the green light from the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors to do so. That happened last week. And Fred Missel, who's director of development for the UVA Foundation, and this is an interesting thing. This property is owned by the UVA Foundation, not the University of Virginia.
Well, we were just talking about that with Dave McNair. The University of Virginia Real Estate Foundation owns the building that's likely to be leased by Chinese chef Peter Chang.
I saw that on the Hooks blog today.
That used to be the Asian buffet up near Greenbrier in 29.
And I never got to go eat his delectable
food. Never had it either. I've heard it's incredible.
I hope he does come back. But yeah, exactly. Now, if the research park was owned by the University of Virginia,
right,
then it's government property. And they could do whatever they wanted with it.
Right.
Because
And you can't tax it.
Right.
Yeah.
And because it's owned by the foundation, though, which I assume is a nonprofit and may not have taxing.
Sort of a separate,
anyway.
Yeah.
But the point is they have to get approval for rezonings from the Board of Supervisors. And one of the things a few supervisors have told me over the years is it's a good thing. The UVA sort of splits out its property between foundation property and the university proper itself because that ensures that local government will have some say about how the university grows. In a few of these places.
Right.
Now, the big question out at Fontaine Research Park, it's another one of these big bridge questions, is there going to be a bridge for the future Fontaine-Sunset connector? And it's funny, Jim Duncan read this story and commented on his blog. He's a realtor out in Crozet and a big fan of Charlottesville Tomorrow, but he liked in here that Sean Tubbs, my colleague, wrote that the recent rezoning didn't really answer conclusively what was going to happen about this future road and the bridge over the railroad tracks. But it offered clues, and Jim thought it was very funny that we were that's where we are with transportation issues in Virginia now. Reporters like us were just trying to find clues as to what's going to happen.
Because you don't really know what's going to happen because there's no money for
there's
it.
There's no money to do anything.
Yeah. Brian, we had a couple of callers say that the parking garage over near the Culber Theater in the A School, I was right, it is free. But then we had another caller say that it won't be free soon.
Okay, so be careful. Read those little signs.
Yep, UVA is going to, it looks like UVA might have a plan to make employees pay to park there. Isn't that a pay cut? Isn't that, at some point, can't you, from a certain angle, isn't that a pay cut? Because if your employer's paying you X number of dollars to work, and then they start charging you to park to go work, you just got a pay cut.
Well, I've worked at downtown companies that did not pay for my parking, and I had to fend for myself.
Yeah.
And I've worked for others.
Even harder downtown.
That have picked up my parking. So it depends on the company.
Yeah.
But anyway, UVA has a whole lot of people coming in, commuting in.
And more, yeah.
And I think they're, you know, that's an issue that they're wrestling with and working hard on.
Yeah, that's a hard nut to crack there.
But anyway, Fontaine Avenue, Sunset Connector, there's not really an answer to this dilemma right now, except the UVA is saying, we will be more than happy to help build part of that road on our property when you decide where it's going to go.
Yeah.
But
they do have approval now to expand the Fontaine Research Park.
They do have approval.
Where? Where is it going to Like if you drive in there, where is it expanding? To the left?
There's a little concept map up on our website, and it says click to enlarge, which I can't do on the piece of paper in front of me. but it looks like it's over on the left side is most of the activity as you come in. Although maybe there's some on the right side too. I can't really tell, Coy. But listeners who want a visual on this, go to our website, seavilletomorrow.org. You'll see the diagram right there. But this allows them to expand. They got a special use permit allowing construction of a 60-bed hospital and parking garages.
Interesting. Another little boutique hospital like the one out on Ivy Road.
Well, and they've got two medical, at least two that I've been to, two medical facilities out there for outpatient care, you know, already.
Oh, already, yeah, at Fontaine.
Yeah, already.
Yeah. This sounds like a good idea to me. I mean, these are good jobs, and I'm all for more facilities that bring in good jobs into the community.
One of the questions that's come up, though, Coy, is transportation. And I mentioned the Fontaine Sunset Connector. One of the reasons that's an issue is that the neighbors in the city in the Friars Springs neighborhood have always been concerned about people commuting into that facility.
Yeah.
And are they going to cut through, you know, Old Lynchburg Road?
You can get there from 64 and the 250 bypass.
Yep. And at one point, UVA floated the idea of creating a new interchange on I-64 that basically would dump right into Fontaine.
Sort of cool.
Did you ever hear that idea?
No, but that's sort of cool, isn't it?
It was unrealistic.
Oh, was it too expensive?
It was too close to the existing interchanges.
Oh, okay.
VDOT was not going to be happy with it.
Brian Wheeler, you can get more information of these and other stories about local growth and development online at SeavilleTomorrow.org. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you
very
Coy.
Much.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.